The more you can be at peace in your body, the more that you are comfortable with the fact of sexuality as a part of the human experience, your kids will map that, okay? And they feel it whether or not you're saying anything, because they're watching you, and kids are wired to map their parents' minds. The more you're settled down about sexuality yourself, you really help your kids.
Welcome to Conversations with Dr. Jennifer, a collection of interviews on the topics of relationships, sexuality, spirituality, and more, all featuring Dr. Finlayson Fife.
Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this session of the Raising Healthy, Happy Teens Virtual Summit. We are so excited to be here with Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for those who don't know Dr. Finlayson Fife yet, she is an LDS relationship and sexuality coach with a PhD in counseling psychology. So this is going to be a really wonderful, important conversation about how we can help our kids develop and foster really a healthy sense of sexuality right now and into their futures, right? Laying the foundation for that for them. So thank you for being here. For those who don't know you, who aren't familiar with you, what else would you add by way of background?
Just that I love this work and I love helping people. You know, it's not easy to be a parent, and it's not easy to be a parent of an adolescent, never mind the sexuality piece. We're putting that in sexuality piece aside, it's challenging. But adolescence and sexuality gives parents a special kind of challenge that really can be hard, because you're in this struggle between how much autonomy and how much freedom, you know, how much autonomy and how much structure is ideal, and it's never entirely clear. So, and sexuality can be dangerous, you know, it can work against our children's well-being.
Right.
But if we squash it too much, that works against their well-being. So anyway, it's not an easy job. Parents are up. And any parent that's here because they want to do better, I commend it, actually.
It's a Amen. Yep, I agree. I always tell my parents, I'm like, I know the kinds of parents that find their way to me, to the work that we're doing, and yeah. You're a good parent.
Right, sure. Exactly.
For learning, for engaging in these conversations.
Very true. Yes. So.
Awesome. So let's just start off. What is the opportunity for parents in helping our kids develop a sexuality that's healthy for them now and in the future? Like, what does a healthy sexuality for a teen look like?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the reason it's so important is because whether or not we like it, sexuality is so core to our sense of self that to figure this out in a healthy way, which is to, you know, make your peace with it, but not be indulgent and self or other destructive with it. But to find that space means you're set up for a foundation of a good life, whether or not you ever marry, whether or not, meaning it's like there's something to be reconciled with oneself. So I think it's really critical how we communicate what sexuality is about. And so the opportunity in it, or the way that I do a online course of how to talk to your kids about sex, and what I state as the overarching goal of the course is to help your children develop sexual integrity. And what I mean by that, this is just kind of way I'm trying to capture something here, is that you're literally integrating your sexuality into your sense of self. When you're a child, you kind of know that some parts of your body feel good. You know, people get a little reactive, you know, but so you're trying to make sense of this. You're maybe a little bit afraid of it, but it's developing into someone who can accept her body, accept his body, and, you know, the capacity for pleasure to be okay with it, right? Like to actually maybe even feel happy about that capacity, mm-hmm. but to also live in integrity with it. That is that you are self-respecting and other-respecting, that you live up to your values around your sexuality. So you don't let the fact of pleasure or the fact that you can get someone else's approval, right?
Right.
Through sexuality become more important, because those both feel good. Okay. Those both are nice parts of sexuality, but they're not more important than what you believe is best and what you believe is good for you. And so it's helping children to both accept this, but also treat it wisely so that it can be a blessing in their lives, so it can be a good thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay, and then for parents, huge question. So yes, obviously you're not going to say everything. What are some things that we can do to help build that?
Okay, so I would say, if I were to put it into three categories.
Sure. Yes.
The first idea is just a kind of fundamental as possible, but probably the hardest thing is for the parents themselves to be at peace with sexuality. Now, we often want to give our children something we haven't yet figured out, and I totally get it. Many parents want their kids to do better than they did. And many times kids do. They can feel that permission, right, to work it out in a better way. But the more you can be at peace in your body, the more that you are comfortable with the fact of sexuality as a part of the human experience, your kids will map that, okay? And they feel it whether or not you're saying anything, because they're watching you, and kids are wired to map their parents' minds. What things make mom upset, what things get dad angry, whatever it is, right? So if you're watching a show and a sex scene comes on and mom quickly, like, you know, is, you know, trying to distract everybody, whatever, like, kids understand that. They understand that mom's anxious, okay? Or if mom says, oh, I thought that was an unnecessary scene, and they're doing that because they sell more, you know, copies of the show, you know, mom can handle it and can actually articulate a position. Well, that not only is she articulating a position, but she's also showing them that she can handle these topics, right? For example. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you realize you have some anxieties around this, the course I teach also helps parents to think about where they're struggling in it. Because I think the more you're settled down about sexuality yourself, you really help your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Second bucket is you want to give your kids your values around this. In the course, I kind of say, like, at age 4, what are you doing? At age 7, what are you doing? Because you kind of, it's going to evolve as your child evolves. But you want, before adolescence, ideally, because your kids are much more open to you before adolescence. In adolescence, they're like, mom, I get it. Okay. You have nothing more to say to me. But pre-adolescent, if possible, to offer them what your values are around sexuality. What creates the good life around sexuality? What is a way that being in relationship to sexuality blesses your child and blesses a future relationship? So you want them to have a sense of that as a structure around sexuality, because they need a way to make sense of how to be in relationship with it. So that's the second bucket.
Okay, yeah.
And then the third is, especially now in adolescence. Adolescence, if things are going right, okay, is a period of beginning the process of self-definition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most kids are still heavily in other validation seeking. That is, they're not looking to you so much anymore. They do still, even though they pretend not to. But they're looking a lot to their peers. They're looking a lot to others. Am I enough? Am I okay? But while their friends become very important to them and peer relationships become, they are sorting out, who am I relative to these friendships? Who am I compared to my friends? And they're beginning to tease apart, what do I think? What do I value? Right? What do I think about my relationship to sexuality? So because kids are in this tension between wanting their peers to be happy with them, but also wanting to be true to themselves, you want to help kids to, ideally, you know, before they're in the thick of all this, to value being true to themselves and being true to the best in them around their sexuality. You want to teach them that doing something sexual for approval, right, is always going to work against them.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want to teach them that being afraid of their sexuality will work against them, right? It's okay to like this part of life. It's okay to like the approval they can get through sexuality. Even, like, you know, we get so afraid of that, but it feels good to be dressed in a nice outfit and to know that the guy you're interested in notices you. And there's nothing wrong with that feeling good. It's just an essential part of learning how to be in a romantic sexual relationship, but never valuing that more than they value themselves. So helping your kids to start to think within themselves, what do I desire? Right? What do I believe will be best for me? What would not work against me? How do I want to handle myself if I feel pressured to do more than I actually want to do? How do I want to protect myself in certain situations? So you're equipping them to be more, not just in reaction to you or trying, you know, not in compliance or defiance. Mm-hmm. You want to help them move into more self-authorship. I'll say one more thing. I know I'm saying a lot, but
that's why you're here. Thank you.
Okay. But the thing that's tricky about adolescents is they're not ready to be completely self-authoring, right? And they may want you to just back off, right? They want you to say, I can come in when I want or whatever, but they're not ready for it. And so what is optimal, although never a science and often a very messy art, okay, is figuring out like how much freedom is the right amount of freedom. How much structure is the right amount of structure? But you don't want to just be controlling every move, nor do you want to be trusting them entirely, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I've had friends who say their daughter's like, Mom, I want to wear this mini skirt. And if you won't let me, you are shaming my sexuality. And, you know, they're trying to use this fear that they know their parents have of shaming yeah. sexuality. That's the new fear.
Right.
Basically say, back off. Any structure is going to make me worse for the wear. And that's just simply not true. You know, I might say to my daughter, yeah, nice try. Go put on something else. Because that is to say, I don't feel any shame about your sexuality. And you know I don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not appropriate to wear that to class. I mean, I can hold an expectation of you because you're saying this is about shame when really this is about you really like that validation. Again, I wouldn't even shame the validation. I am not at all surprised that you like the validation, and I can tell that you get a lot of it. That's why you need to go put something else on. So you're not shaming, but you're holding a structure.
Yeah.
Right. And then there might be other times where you wish you could just tell them not to, you know, not to do something, but you know it's age appropriate. You know that it's right for them to kind of have a little latitude to make some choices, make some mistakes, but you're aware of it. The one thing I'll just say is that the optimal parenting is, as you've probably talked about, is not authoritarian, which is overly controlling, not permissive, which is under-involved. I mean, negligence, of course, is bad on every front, but even permissive is like, you're just kind of, you don't dare to set the limit. The best outcomes are for authoritative parents. And that is, they have structure, they have rules, but they also are in tune enough with the child to know when they need to have some flexibility. And so the child really may sometimes be annoyed by the structure, but they know it's coming not because the parent wants to control them. They know it's there because the parent cares about them. You know, I remember as an adolescent, my parents saying no to me sometimes, and I would be like, oh, can't believe it. Like, oh, come on. But in my heart, I felt loved. I felt secure about it. And as I did, if I knew that they were also being flexible about something that made good sense to be flexible about, that was also a kind of manifestation of their trust in me. Mm-hmm. And so it's figuring out, when is it time to hold the structure? When is it time to give them some space?
These are like really nuanced ideas, right? I think when you're like playing them out in the day-to-day parenting, I think it's nice to have that overall, that goal, right? That you're looking at, like you were saying, it's not coming from shame. It's coming from self-respect and from the long-term and teasing out those discussions and then and actually living it. That's a big practice.
Absolutely.
What would you say to the parent who is saying, you know, maybe we were too permissive or we were too strict or we don't know why, but now our kid's doing all these promiscuous things or risky behaviors, or what do I do now? What can I do?
It's a good question. And it's a big question because it depends a little bit on what the situation is and the age of the child. You know, I mean, I've had parents who you know, gone through my courses or my materials, and then they're like, oh my gosh, like I did so many things wrong, you know, and their child's now a young adult, right? Well, I actually think it's valuable to say, I think I did some things wrong, and this is what I think worked against you. Not because that makes you a terrible person, actually, not because your child isn't still, your adult child isn't still responsible for their lives and the choices they make going forward, but it is a way of showing them that you love them, that you want to do right by them, and that you're willing to self-correct. It also helps them to think about, wait, did I internalize that idea in a way that's worked against me? It frees them up to do better.
Kind of smooths their path.
Yeah, exactly. I think also, like, if you're in the midst of parenting and you think, okay, I've been micromanaging too much, for example, or I've been hovering too much, you know, to say to your child, you know, I can't remember the name of this book. Can't think of it right now. It might come to me in a minute. Mm-hmm. It's really about this kind of conversation with your child, which is you move into more of a collaborative conversation with them to set up, okay, I want you to have more freedom. I feel like dad and I, or mom and I, have been hovering too much around this. You're old enough to take on more. And so this is what we're thinking of for, here's the structure, here's the consequences of not, you know, complying with it, but we want you to be able to make more decisions. So you're moving into more of a offering more authority to them within a certain set of limits. You can self-correct if your child is still at home. If you think you've been being too permissive and they're moving into things that are, well, out of love, not out of a desire to punish. I mean, I think for some parents that are permissive, this is at least as hard as beginning to give latitude for the more authoritarian inclined parent.
Yeah.
Because they don't want their children's invalidation. They don't want their child to be mad at them. And that's often what drives the permissive.
Fear that if I set that boundary, then they're just going to, you know.
Absolutely. They're out of here.
Rebel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to really think in your mind, if you are that parent, that this structure is an investment in my child. I'm uncomfortable. And that's what love feels like sometimes. And their validation of me is less important than their well-being. That's why you're putting the structure there. Not because you want them to feel bad, but you want them to have the structure that they need to actually grow. Right? There is definitely such thing as way too much freedom. Right? And kids do map that as a parent being afraid of invalidation. So it doesn't feel like love, even though they may like the fact that compared to their friends, they have too little structure. But when a parent comes in and holds it out of, I care about you, I see this is working against you, and here is the limit, the child understands it as love, especially if the parent is not, I mean, they won't tell you they think it's love,
right?
But they feel it.
That's not what they will say.
So yeah, no, exactly.
Thanks for loving me, mom.
exactly. And waiting for them to tell you that is never going to be that. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, you're going to be confronted with invalidation. And so, you know, I know my own child went through a difficult time, and we were in this struggle at times between give him more space, give him less. And we were like stumbling through the dark, doing it all very imperfectly. I mean, really, we were. But we were thinking about, what does he need? That was what was in our hearts, right? Not perfectly and not all the time. Sometimes I'm like, how dare you not obey me?
Yeah.
Sometimes
those are all so real.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes it was just my ego or just my whatever. But the thing is that once, you know, he got a little bit older and got through that, he did say to us, you know, and he said to me specifically one time, just like, I know you love me. And it was helpful for me to track that you were working hard to figure out what I needed. So even though he was struggling, so was I. Mm-hmm. He could understand that it was a struggle that was about him and my love for him. And, you know, again, at that time, that was the last thing he was saying. You know, it was kind of like, how are my parents that screw up? That was probably more what was in his head. But the thing was, is he acknowledged, I knew that it was about loving me, and I'm thankful for it. Yeah.
And that's such an important message to send, because oftentimes, especially with our adolescents, the risky behaviors are seeking like that approval and the validation
That's right.
Feeling something that they're not finding at home or in their relationships.
That's right. Exactly. And so when kids know, I mean, kids, they like their peers, they're trying to figure out who they are. So they're going to make missteps, even if their parents absolutely love them. But it is true that when kids, you know, girls, there's research, when they see their dad is involved in their life and their dad loves them, they're much slower to have their first sexual experience, right? And it's a much healthier choice. Where if a girl is uncertain that she's lovable to her father and therefore to men, you know, a heterosexual girl, she's going to be much more likely to be pursuing in the, you know, look for love in all the wrong places, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So when kids feel secure in their attachment to their parents, feel clear that their parents do love them, they're much wiser in their choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so important. We keep coming back to that.
I just returned home after traveling for a couple of weeks, and it was amazing to slip back into those bamboo sheets from Cozy Earth. It was an unexpected surprise, actually, to remember how good they feel, how comforting it is, and I got my best sleep score last night that I've had in 2 weeks. So I love these sheets. They're made of a bamboo blend, and they just are cool and comforting at the same time. Cozy Earth stands behind everything they make. You get a 100-night sleep trial on the sheets, a lifetime warranty on the clothing, and hassle-free returns if anything isn't right. So if you're looking for a new set of sheets or you're looking for something to give to someone important in your life, I highly recommend Cozy Earth's bamboo blend sheets. And if you head to CozyEarth.com and use my code JFF20, you get an exclusive 20% off. That's JFF20 for an exclusive 20% off. And if you see a post-purchase survey, just mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here. To a great night's sleep.
I was just thinking, our older kids are teenagers now, and so we're obviously, things are changing and shifting, and they're getting new freedoms and things like that. And yes, I love the way that you describe the collaboration that happens. And I think that it's important for us as parents to let our kids know that we don't know everything, right?
Yeah.
And so when we go into that conversation, we're saying, hey, this is what, like, for example, I was just saying, like, this with our one of our teenagers, we had a new opportunity arise that they haven't come across yet. And we said, okay, before we lay any guidelines, what is the goal with this? What do we want in the end for this? And then what do you think will help you reach that goal? Like, what do you think, you know?
Effort.
And then to say, and we're going to check back.
Yeah.
No, are these guidelines working? To be able to say, you know, and each kid might be different with how those guidelines play out and things like that.
Yeah, I would say probably every child is different, at least in my experience. They're all, you know, in many ways different. But I think what you're talking about there is really good role modeling of that process, which is, it's really giving your child like that self-authoring, like, what is the goal? What am I trying to achieve? What do I think will do it? Because they're not just in a obedience frame anymore. They need to grow out of that obedience frame and get more able to kind of self-direct. But they're not being given 100% freedom either, which is, okay, I think, you know, dad and I agree, I think that will work, but we're not sure that will work, but we're willing to let you give it a try and we'll check back. Again, it's in that tension of structure and freedom and modulating for the benefit of the child, because ideally, as a child reaches 18, they have become a responsible citizen. They have learned how to regulate their choices in line with what, you know, society wants from them. And so helping them to modulate that, imperfect as that process may be, is really the goal of good parenting in this stage.
Yeah, huge, huge, huge. Okay, a little bit of a shift, because a lot of parents are asking me, so I'm asking you as the expert, gender identity. This is, for a lot of parents, this is like a brand new conversation in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's a topic that wasn't highly spoken of. Sometimes it feels uncomfortable. Yes. And whether it's our own kids or their peers that are having gender or questions, or they're more at school, or, you know, teachers are asking, what pronouns do you want to go by? All these kinds of things. Do you have any insight for parents as they're having these conversations?
Well, I don't know all the answers, obviously, but I'll give you some at least ways for you to consider thinking about what's going on and how this might relate to your child and so on. So I think an important fact in history is that we have, as a society, generally speaking, been very uncomfortable with sexual diversity, right? You know, kind of traditional culture is you've got bulls and cows and nobody's trying to be the other, you know, and so we haven't done well historically with homosexuality or somebody who is in that experience of being, I feel like I'm a female in a male body or male and feel it from a very, very young age. I mean, that is true. And societally speaking, meaning that happens to a small percentage of people, and society has not done a good job of understanding it or knowing how to address it or to facilitate and help somebody in that situation. By help, I mean accept, and like a child who feels like they're in the wrong body, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a real thing. And I think as a culture, we've gotten better and better at it. I mean, to be born LGBTQ now, much, much easier life than even when I was growing up. There was a student in my class who was gay. He got teased a lot. He was, it makes me so sad to think about him, but, you know, he was teased mercilessly because people were afraid of it and felt the freedom to shame. And it's just so cruel, right? Because the difficulty of being born different and seeing everything around you as being, you know, that you're the wrong kind of person is really hard on a soul and psyche. So that's important. And learning how to genuinely receive and understand those who are different from us is a basic Christian goal, in my opinion, or goal of a good, stable society. That said, we're in a current environment that I think is overly reactive and not necessarily helpful. And so what I mean by that is that we have a lot more focus in our very fractured society on identity and what group you belong to. And in my opinion, who is the biggest victim? Because being a victim in our current society gets you social points in a way, right? So, and again, this has come, I think, from a desire to help people who have had a hard go, who are in a victim position in a way. But I think the distortion in it is that if you are somebody who is a minority who has, you know, you can utilize that to kind of to get social points. Okay, so the problem with that is when our adolescents are in this period of self-authoring and trying to sort out who they are and experimenting with different identities and often struggling in their sense of self, like that, if I were to think of like the hardest point in my life, pretty much be adolescence. Okay, that is, who am I? Do I matter? Do I have any skills? You know, am I sufficient to my peers? People would say, be yourself. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I have no idea what that even means. I don't have a self yet. I don't even know. And so, you know, you see among adolescents, when I was in high school, people were experimenting with all kinds of things, drugs, pierced ears, you know, doing what we did was punk back then. So you do. Okay. So that's just a thing that people.
I'd like to see that on you. Do you have that phase?
I did not
go
that far.
Can we dig up some photos? No. Oh.
I just knew I wasn't going to pull it off. It was not going to be a
dream. I don't think I can.
Right. But, you know, you're trying to sort out what you really think and who you are. Mm-hmm. So in this current climate, there is the idea that who you're attracted to and what your gender identity is a very open question. And if you want to be different or unique or stand out among your peers, right, being in some way sexually diverse has an upside to it in a way that when I was growing up had zero upside. Now, I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that if your child is saying this, that they're just looking for attention, right? Because this may absolutely be who your child is and what they're trying to sort out. So I want to be really clear that I'm certainly not saying that this is all made up. It's not true. There's real diversity in who people are. And for people to be their strongest selves, they need to sort out who they are. But I think it's important as parents to understand the climate in which a child is sorting this out. And so I think there's one more idea, is that a lot of times people think like, okay, well, if I feel like I want to be a boy and I am a girl, that the way to help that person be healthy is to immediately make a change. And most kids grow out of that feeling. Now, not all do. Mm-hmm. And for some, it is absolutely right to undergo surgery and to undergo a more, you know, but you don't want to rush into any decision like that. And you want to be cautious of the idea that that will deal with the mental health issues someone is having. It might, but you want to be smart and wise about it. And as a loving parent, to give your child time to sort out who they are and to say, I will love you whoever you decide that is, right? Whatever that means for you. But I want you to have the time to really make sure you know what that is so that you can remove any desire to do something out of rebellion from your child, mm-hmm. and offer and foster in them that they're being true to their best selves in this process. That's really important for helping them sort through it. And I think the more the child knows that you will love them no matter what and you care about their well-being, the more they can do the same for themselves and sort out what that means. But again, it's not an easy time. And you know, to in a way, be patient with your child's efforts to sort out who they are and what an important process that, and messy process that can be, and to have the courage to love in the face of that, because it can be, I found it to be a rather uncomfortable time.
Yeah.
Being the parent of adolescents. So.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful. The parents that have come to me are in that position of, I absolutely love my child. If this is really the way that their life, that they're choosing, they're who they really are, right. I absolutely want to support that.
Yeah.
And then, but it's that struggle, just like you were describing. Is it social pressure? Is it this, you know, fitting in this way or standing out in that way rather than really innately who they are? And I think your message to love them, to send that message of love and acceptance, and also that invitation to almost wait and just see how things develop.
Right.
And not have to take action right away with things.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm so grateful I didn't get married when I was an adolescent. I mean, I know this sounds really obvious, but I mean, if I'd had to make a decision then, I would have married a very different kind of person.
Right, right.
I changed so much between, you know, 16 and 26. I was just more mature, wiser about who I was, wiser about what mattered to me. The things that I thought were funny, the kinds of jokes I was making at 15, you know, very different than when I was 25. And I mean, I know those are just some examples, but I was absolutely experimenting in my own way as a adolescent, because I'm trying to figure out what that does mean to be yourself. What does it even mean? Who am I? So you're trying on different identities. You're trying on different personas on some level with your friends, maybe more than parents realize, to sort that out. And it's a very important process, even though we'll stress any good parent out.
Awesome. We're almost at our time. So I'm going to, where can parents connect with you, learn about your course?
Sure. If you just go on my website, it's finlayson-fife.com. And on there, you'll see online courses tab. It's called How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. And then I also have a podcast called Conversations with Dr. Jennifer, where you can get on there and you can look up different questions I've answered just around how to talk to your kids about sex through that podcast. So you can search on my website through that podcast platform for different topics that I've covered on this. Yeah.
Yeah. So much helpful material. So much helpful material. Thank you so much for this conversation. I know it's a really important conversation for parents to be able to have and to think about these ideas for their teens. You get the last word. What else would you share with parents today?
Well, I would say just to be kind to yourselves in this. I mean, I think that one thing is that as parents, we want so much to do a good job that we will almost take on too much responsibility for our kids. Now, I don't want parents to ever neglect what they contribute, but what we contribute is only what we contribute. And our kids still have agency and still will have their own challenges to sort out. And the more we can hold on to that, actually, the more we can stay involved in the best way, right? Without avoiding our kids because it makes us feel bad about ourselves, or trying to overly control them because we can't tolerate them making mistakes that might reflect badly on us. So one of the kindest things you can do for yourself and your child is to just hold your dignity in the face of the world's most challenging work. It really is. I mean, we say that, it sounds cliche, but it's actually true. It's like a million times easier to do a 9-to-5 job.
Just show up.
Right.
Put your hours in.
And then go home. Yeah. But parenting around the clock while kids' needs are changing and evolving and they're all different and your sense of self is walking around on them. I mean, no, not easy. So to be compassionate to yourself while you stumble through and to say, like, me trying earnestly is the most valuable thing I can do because my child understands it. Just like I talked about them mapping your relationship to sexuality. They understand if you care about them and want what's best for them, even if it's a flawed process. And that means something to their sense of self, that it will help them to do what's right by them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Super inspiring and insightful. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, we ask that you please rate, review, and share the podcast so that more people can find and benefit from Dr. Jennifer's work.